I'm Sarah Intonato, and today on the blog we are talking about yoga. Yes, it's for your mind, but this is why we need to bother doing poses if we want to receive the benefits. Many people say things to me like, well, if yoga is about your mind and focus and clarity, I'm just going to do the seated stuff. I'm just going to do meditation. I am just going to do chanting practices. And don't get me wrong, you need those. I incorporate them both into my yoga practice. However, doing your poses are important. And just because yoga deals with cleaning out our mind doesn't mean we can neglect the physical piece. So let's dive right into this hot topic, shall we? So the first reason we have to input the practice of poses, Sanskrit word is asana, into our yoga practice is because our goal in yoga is to free the mind from distraction and be able to focus on one object for an extended period of time, no matter what's happening around us or within us. And if our physical body is not healthy, it's going to be a constant source of distractions. Think about it. We always have the distractions which are present if we hear a noise outside or those things which occur outside of ourselves. But how distracting is it when you're sneezing all the time or when your lower back hurts or when you feel nauseous? Those things are fully consuming. So we need the practice of poses in order to keep our bodies healthy and strong, flexible, and able to be the container for a quiet mind. If our body is unhealthy, it's a constant distraction, and our mind will only have yet another thing to dwell on instead of finding a state of clarity or a state of peace. So physical health is the roadway towards mental health. You cannot neglect that fact. So our asana practice provides a vehicle for cleansing our physical body, healing it, making it stronger, making it less susceptible to diseases and injuries. And this is an unavoidable necessity on the path to yoga. And especially as we age, we can do a lot of preventative work in keeping our body strong and not allowing the typical ailments that come as we get older to take over. Additionally, if you are doing a correct and accurate asana practice or practice of poses, it should be quite meditative. And we have a few different tools which are usable for this to happen, and they're often overlooked. One of them is our drishti, our focal point. And in Ashtanga yoga, every single pose which we do has a specific focal point. And when we work our focal point as intensely as we work our breathing and work our poses, we are able to hone in our focus to a much deeper level. Things that we're doing become very meditative. However, if we're not doing this, our mind will go all over the place. And as a teacher, I see all the time, you know, students will be really focused, but then when the door opens, they'll turn their awareness to the door, see who's coming in and out, and they'll go back to their mat. And then if they hear a sound, they'll look in the direction of the sound and then go back to their mat. So these are things we want to try and strengthen our senses against. We want to be able to allow these distractions to happen and not look in their direction. So the visual distractions are a big deal. And this is a very important way we can use our practice of poses to make our mind much stronger, and the result will be a much more centered and a much more meditative asana practice. Another technique which breeds deep concentration and is really not doable if you're not in a concentrated state is the practice of Mula Bandha, or your root lock. The ancient teachings of yoga often said that when Mula Bandha is perfectly achieved, mind control is automatic. That's how much concentration it takes to engage your pelvic floor lock, pull that energy upward, and maintain it for the entire duration of your yoga practice. Most often, what happens is you connect with that body and that energy movement, hold it for a little while, and then let it go. And part of our practice is reconnecting to that energy lock over and over and over again. And
keeping it strong and steady will allow our mind to get into a very meditative place. Much like using a focal point, Mula Bandha does not allow our mind to go other places, because if our mind leaves our mat, these techniques cannot happen. So we have to apply them to the fullest degree in order to keep our mind involved in what we're doing. And the definition of meditation, per the Yoga Sutras, is sustained concentration for an extended period of time to such a degree that we release our attachment to all things, all physical things around us, and only feel a deep state of connectedness or a deep state of oneness with ourselves and with all things. So in the eight limbs of yoga, you'll notice that meditation is the seventh limb and concentration is the limb that comes right before it. It's the sixth limb, which means you can't meditate if you can't concentrate. So you have to learn to concentrate first and then you can meditate. And I hate to burst anybody's bubble who talks about sitting in meditation for a long time, but when you sit in meditation and you do a meditation practice, and this is certainly what I do, you're actually practicing concentration techniques. You're not meditating from start to finish. You are practicing bringing your mind back to the present moment over and over and over again, maybe to a mantra or maybe to your breath, but it's very much training your mind the same way you would train your muscles. You have to do a bicep curl over and over again if you want stronger biceps. In the same way, you have to redirect your mind back to your point of focus over and over again until your mind learns to stay there for longer periods of time. And when it does, you will achieve a state of meditation. And if you've ever experienced it, you'll know it's almost an indescribable feeling. It's hard to properly articulate what that deep state of connectedness or oneness feels like. And you'll probably have little glimpses of it before you have it for an extended period of time. So what we're really doing is practicing concentration. And certainly when you are practicing your poses, it takes a lot of concentration to do it and not get distracted and check your phone or not finish early because you're hungry or you think you have other work which has to happen first. And our mind will jump to all of those ways out. And what we're doing with our asana practice is teaching it to stay even when it's uncomfortable. And this is exactly what a sitting practice or a meditation practice or a chanting practice will do. It teaches us to stay even when we're getting uncomfortable. So I hope today's blog has driven home the fact that yes, your physical practice, asana practice, can have meditative qualities, and doing more of it will make you a better meditator. You'll be more comfortable. You'll be able to sit for a longer period of time and your mind will be less distracted. So I do both myself. I recommend you embark on both. If you need help with these techniques, I have a wonderful audio bundle, which I will link in the comments below, which gives you access to both your physical practice and your meditation practice techniques with me. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.